Ksuvos Perek Hey, Mishnah Dalad 5:4. The Mishnah is going to ask the question of what happens if the husband is makdish, if he consecrates the production that the wife makes. The wife spins yarn. The question is, if he's makdish that yarn, what is the status? Now, really, this is a bit of a complicated issue, and there are two separate points discussed in the Mishnah. I think it's quite difficult to see the different cases in the Mishnah itself, so let's just discuss everything outside first, and then we'll see the Mishnah's words inside afterwards. The first issue is, who owns Ma'asei Yadeha? Who owns the things she produces? Is it her or him? Now, that actually is based, that's a Machlokas Amoraim, and there's a Machlokas Roshonim, like whom we paskin. One shita is that the whole reason for Ma'asei Yadeha belong to the husband is really because it's a benefit to him, and therefore it's his. And there's just a reciprocal obligation. Since he gets Ma'asei Yadeha, so then he needs to provide her with mizonos, food and spending money. The details about how much food, how much money, what kind of production, that will all be seen later on in subsequent Mishnayos. The point is, according to one shita, this is really a takana that to benefit him primarily, and her getting the food is like a follow-on to that, consequent to it. The other approach in the Amoraim is that this is all about her. Our concern is that she should have mizonos, he should feed her, and that's primary, and subordinate to that, consequential to that, is this reciprocal obligation that if he's providing the food, the least she can do is she can add to the family budget by also working, and we'll see in the Mishnah later on, Mishnah later on, she's expected to do normal work and be, work with normal diligence, like a regular worker, and she contributes to the family budget as, you know, a reciprocal part of the deal. Since he's providing with food, she should also, contribute as well. Now, the halacha is that this is all about her. It's to benefit her. And therefore, really, Ma'asei Yadeha starts out being hers. The rabbis say she's going to cede it to him in exchange for mizonos. That's part of the deal. But therefore, since it's about her, she's entitled to say, forget it. I'd rather feed myself, make my own arrangements, and my work is my own. She has the prerogative to do so. That is the din. A woman can say, listen, don't worry about feeding me, I'll feed myself, but my, you know, whatever, my work and my output, my labor, all that belongs to me. The other approach is, no, it really belongs to the husband. It's just that, you know, he then has to take care of her, and she can't waive that deal. Now, the halacha, like I said, is the first sheet of the Rambam and the Yad Paskins, that it's really, she owns her stuff, and she can just choose to not give it to him and just agree not to get support from him, financial support from him. If that's the case, it's not his, and the rule is that a person can't be makdish that which isn't his. If I say the sweater that you're wearing is hekdish, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, that's totally ineffectual because it's not mine to consecrate in the first place. I can only consecrate my own sweater. So that's the first part of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah wants to discuss to whom her Ma'asei Yadeha belong, and the litmus test is he able to consecrate it or not? If it's his, he could consecrate it. If it's not his, he can't consecrate it. Okay, that's the first part. Now, what's kind of interesting is that the Bar Tanura learns, like the Perush Mishnayos, the Rambam, but not like the Yad, and not Lahalacha, therefore, that really he owns Ma'asei Yadeha, and she isn't, it's not within her rights to say, I'm not going to give them to you. Okay? So it'll be a different way of reading the Mishnah, what's happening over here. That's the first part of the Mishnah, and the first issue the Mishnah is dealing with. There's a second issue, which is, even if it belongs to him, so if she hasn't yet made it, so then it has the status of what's called a davar shlo bol olam, a thing which hasn't yet come to the world, meaning which is really could take two different forms in general throughout Kol Tzur Kula. It could be a thing where the thing just hasn't come into existence yet, meaning if I say the egg that my chicken lays next Tuesday should be hekdesh, so is that effectual? There's no egg in the world yet. Is that effective? And when the egg is born, can I make scrambled eggs and eat it? Or no, it's hekdesh, because I said ahead of time it's going to be hekdesh. So since the egg is not a davar shlo bol olam, it hasn't come to the world yet, the answer to the question will depend on the machlokas tanaim we see in our Mishnah here, whether or not a person is able to be makdesh something that hasn't yet come into existence. There's a second version of that, which is, even if it exists in the world, like it's not, it exists somewhere, but it's not yet his. In other words, the egg is on the, and is being delivered to me next Tuesday. It's an egg that was already hard-boiled and laid last week, but it's coming to me now. But having it taken possession of it, can I be Maktisha now, even though I'll take possession next week, and then it'll be Hekdisha's? So that's another version of Dovar Shlo B'Lolam. But whatever the case is, whether a person is able to be Maktisha, which yet is not in his Rishus, / not in the world, is a Machlokas Tanaim. We'll see in our Mishnah here. And again, the Halacha is going to be like Yochanan HaSandler, the second Shita, which is that a person may not, simply incapable of being makdish a davar shlo b'olam, something that is not in his possession or that hasn't come into the world's existence yet. Okay, that's the backstory. That's the story in a nutshell. Now let's see the Mishnah inside. Mishnah says hamakdish ma'ase yedei ishto. If a person says the stuff that his wife is going to produce, it should belong to the Beis HaMikdash. So this is on the assumption that, like Reb Meir's Shita, we'll see in the Mishnah in a moment, that even though it hasn't been made yet, a person's able to be Maktish Dovar Shlo B'Olam. The question is, even if a person could be Maktish that which doesn't exist yet, are her Ma'as Yadeh his to be Maktish in the first place? So, the Mishnah says, Harezu Osa Vocheles. The Mishnah says, forget about it. She can just spin her yarn and take it to the store and sell it and use the money to buy herself, you know, whatever she wants. A delicious lunch. The point is that it's hers. And the Pashut reading would be that since Ma'as Yadeh belongs to her and she can waive the exchange of her giving him Ma'as Yadeh in exchange for Mazonos and do it herself, so it's hers and therefore he can't be Maktisha because it's not hers in the first place. The Bar Tanura, who's learning that actually Ma'as Yadeh belongs to him and she can't waive that, is talking about a case where something like, let's say he hasn't got anything to feed her with, so now he's not keeping his half of the bargain. Since he's not keeping his half of the bargain of giving her Mazonos, so now she doesn't have to keep her half of the bargain of giving him her stuff. And that's why he can't be Maktishit. Now, the second part of the Mishnah says Hamosar, additional stuff. What this is actually technically referring to is there are certain expectations about how much she's supposed to produce, like how diligent and how hard she's supposed to work. If she goes above and beyond those requirements, that's called the most of the extra. But the gist of our Mishnah here is actually we're talking about not something which is... The point here, critical issue is even if it is his in the first place, but it hasn't yet bololam, could he be makdish? That's what we're focused on. Notwithstanding the Mishnah doesn't actually say it explicitly like that, but that's the case. So... Reb Meir Omer Hekdesh. Reb Meir says, yes, a person can be Maktish Adavar Shlo B'Olam. So once it's going to be his and she's agreeable to give it to him, he can be Maktish even though it hasn't yet been created. And Reb Yochanan Asandar Omer Chulin. Reb Yochanan Asandar says, no. The declaration that this is consecrated is ineffective. And therefore, once it is created, it's Chulin. It's not Hekdesh. It's profane. And that will be the din. That you can't be Maktish Adavar Shlo B'Olam. Okay, that's a simple reading of the Mishnah. Like I said, it's not that simple to read it in the Mishnah, but that seems to be the way that the Gemara and Mefarshim learn it.